You're listening to an event from the U.S. Institute of Peace, part of the USIP podcast network. For more information about our work around the world, visit usip.org and check us out on social media.
So once again, I'm delighted to be sharing the stage.
Thank you so much, Ambassador.
With Heidi Kuhn, the 2023 laureate of the World Food Prize and the founder of the nonprofit humanitarian organization Roots of Peace. And I was honored, Heidi, and delighted to have been in the rotunda of the magnificent Iowa State Capitol on the 26th of October last year when the award was given by former governor and former ambassador to China, Terry Branstad.
Yes.
An event that was presided over by the current governor of Iowa, and in the presence of numerous former World Food Prize laureates. It was a magnificent event, one that I will long remember. Heidi, we want to hear you talk more about Roots of Peace, its work around the world, the impact it's had on the land, but also on the lives of the people who work that land. But first, I'd like to acknowledge the presence in the audience of some other guests. I think some of them have been mentioned before. The Roots of Peace CEO, Tucker Kuhn. The Reverend David Beckman. Is David still with us? Maybe not, but David is the President Emeritus of Bread for the World and the 2010 recipient of the World Food Prize. Jan Hartke, is Jan still with us? Yes, a longtime member of the Board of Directors of Roots of Peace and also a staunch supporter of the U.S. Institute of Peace. I should note that his father, Vance Hartke, was instrumental in the establishment of this institution way back in 1984. In my opening remarks, Heidi, I referenced the fact that this theme of peace through agriculture is one that is deeply rooted, in our history, in American history. Mm-hmm. And I know that it's also a central pillar of your family history. And I wondered if you would just take a minute and share a little bit of that with us, and then perhaps connect it to what inspired you to create Roots of Peace.
Well, Ambassador, I must say, it's such an honor to be here with you, and in the presence of multiple ambassadors, not only our dear Ambassador Kenneth Quinn, but who's just arrived, the Ambassador of Azerbaijan, Qasr Ibrahim. Welcome. And the gentleman who was the wind beneath my wings has just left, and that was Ambassador Donald Steinberg. Yes. So I always begin with my grandmother McNear's statement, if I've seen further than others, it's only because I've stood on the shoulders of giants, and those giants are here in this room. Mm. My grandmother also had a beautiful saying that coincidence is a miracle in which God prefers to remain anonymous. Mm. And there are no accidents. And to me, to be here in the heartland of my country at this particular time in human history, and to hear your words that our first president of the United States, George Washington, envisioned this terra firma upon where we sit to be an epicenter of peace. I just, peace through agriculture, I think, is that ground zero right now from where we need to come as Americans. And having just celebrated the beautiful Thanksgiving with my husband, 4 children and 7 grandchildren, and 28 people, 2 turkeys a couple days ago, we reflected upon our American history, and we've all come from someplace to this beautiful country. And my roots began, I was just up there actually, in Wiscasset, Maine. John McNear was born in Old Kilpatrick in Dunbarton, Scotland in 1701. And as a young man, he sailed and ventured west. Mm. He settled in Wiscasset and in 1730s and helped build the Eastern Seaboard. He was captured twice by the Native Americans and escaped. But what they knew a thing or two was about shipping and used that experience and talent again to help build the Eastern Seaboard. They married, not through the colonies. These were the colonies. And Lucretia Tufts McNear is my grandmother, and they had a very strong history about education and educating women. It was a secret passed on throughout generations that the middle name of girls would be Lucretia. My middle name's Lucretia. My granddaughter's middle name is Lucretia. And education is so very important to us. 100 years later, in 1832, John McNear was born, again, in Wiscasset. But he heard also, "Go west, my son, for there was gold in the hills of California." He set sail with his earthly belongings in his early 20s, missed the boat somehow. I have three sons, I know what that, sometimes excuses that could be. But he had to then, as his earthly belongings went around the Tierra del Fuego, he took the shortcut through the Isthmus of Panama, through raging waters, malaria-infested jungles, and he caught the old Sonora up to San Francisco, only to realize his boat had sunk. So we have a family saying, don't curse the darkness, light a candle, because if you miss the boat, it might have been for a very good reason. Well, he had $300 to his name. He knew something about shipping. San Francisco was booming. He couldn't afford to go to the gold country. So he started the steamer Gold and brought the eggs, milk, and butter to feed a growing economy. And after the social entrepreneurship of shipping became quite successful, those coming from the gold country had to put their money somewhere other than their mattress. So he started the Bank of Sonoma. He continued then to start real estate because people needed to sit, to have homes. So in Petaluma, California, he became the founding father and one of the first millionaires in the state of California with Collis Huntington, Mark Hopkins, Leland Stanford, and the robber barons. But because of hard work, he was a very humble man and purchased 2,500 acres of land in the southern shores of Petaluma, which is San Rafael, and that is in Marin County. And though respect for the land and the people were passed down to me throughout generations, it wasn't about the financial money, it's currency of the heart. And when he saw the social injustices going on through to the Chinese, he sailed to San Francisco, no Golden Gate Bridge, offered the Chinese refuge in 1868. And 500 came. And my grandmother told me, he said, "Do you like women? Send for your wives." So they started families, and it's known today as China Camp State Park. But they started also exporting 3 million pounds of dried shrimp to China annually because he just didn't want people living off his land. You had to have the dignity of jobs and ag, whether it's the water, the aqua, my dear friend Nicola out there, or, by land, by sea, but it's jobs and dignity for people. And when the Chinese Exclusion Act of 1882 occurred, it was burned down. My great-great-grandfather said, let's rebuild. And so today, again, whatever the current political situation is, I think what was taught to me, respect for the land, respect for the people, and that has carried forth through my children and now my grandchildren. When I heard there were landmines in the world.
Tell us about it.
How does a nice girl get into landmines?
How does a nice girl from California get into landmines?
I heard, it was shortly after Princess Diana had died, my two eldest sons were the same relative age as William and Harry, and I thought, what is this mother walking through a minefield? And what's a landmine? I'd never heard of it. I live in Marin County. We can hike the mountains, run the beaches, kick a soccer ball out of bounds. We don't have to care about landmines. And 3 weeks after she died, I was asked, because it's a tapestry of one's life. I had to quit my career at 30. I was diagnosed with 4-stage malignant cancer. And cancer is a landmine. Landmines are a cancer to the earth. And my prayer going under the knife was, dear God, grant me the gift of life, and I will do something special with it. And it just really was an epiphany of turning mines to vines, killing fields into vineyards, swords into plowshares. And none of us in this room know tomorrow whether you will have cancer, breast cancer, brain cancer. But to me, as a survivor of cancer and having given birth to a little boy after cervical cancer, it was a little miracle. So I just thought removal. And I set out on a quest, and if you can imagine growing up in Marin County, California, the other side of the Golden Gate Bridge, and telling your friends, you know, you're committed to taking out these landmines. And again, I think Princess Diana's legacy was not that of a princess, but as a mother who truly cared about the plight of children. So, so turning an idea into reality, I went to the Napa Valley Vintners because I thought, well, they have a harvest. They might know something about, you know, safe lands. And I went to Robert Mondavi, Mayenko Gurgic, Diane Disney Miller, Tor Kenward of Behringer, and Eric Wente. And they said, how much money do you have for this idea of turning mines to vines? I said, zero. I'm armed with an idea, but we can do this. And they all got together, and really the rest is history. But I it's those who work the land, and the Napa Valley, the Sonoma Valley, didn't have to care about this issue.
But they cared enough to support you.
They did, and it was Robert Mondavi, ambassador, who had the first, because he said, well, nobody believed I could make the best wines in the world. It was France. And with Mayenko Gurgic, and I raised my first $30,000, and he has since left the room, but Ambassador Donald Steinberg, at that time, the U.S. Department of State, had just created what was called the Department of PMWRA, Political Military Affairs, Weapons Removal and Abatement. Right. And he flew out, probably wondered what this lady was doing, turning mines to vines. And when he saw the event and the sincerity of the Vintners, in that room in Robert Mondavi Winery in May 1999, he stood up and matched the $30,000 that we raised that night. Mm. And then once again, it was matched by the International Trust Fund. And I began the first month of the new millennium in a minefield with the State Department leading my way. And Ambassador, if you've ever walked through a minefield, anything I had studied or thought or seen on television, nothing prepares you for the fact that people cannot trust the land in which they walk.
We'll come back to that experience, particularly in Angola, where, of course, Don Steinberg was part of his passion for this issue.
Correct.
Came out of his experiences serving as our ambassador in Angola, and I'll come back to that in a minute. But first, I wanted to sort of go back to where you started. So in 2012, my wife and I had the pleasure of traveling to Croatia.
Yes.
And as we traveled along the roads and the river, the waterways from Dubrovnik to Korčula up to Split, and then eventually, of course, to the capital, looking around, you would never have an idea that that land had been scarred by bomb craters, and it was still marred by thousands and thousands of unexploded mines. One of the stops we made along the way was at the Grigic Winery. On the
outside of Dubrovnik.
Outside of Dubrovnik.
Yes.
Memorable, in which, of course, was your friend,
Mayenko.
Mike Grigic's contribution to helping rebuild his war-torn native land. How did you come to begin your work with Roots of Peace in Croatia?
And it was the Robert Mondavi event where I met this short little Croatian, if you ever knew Mike Gurgic with his beret.
I've seen his pictures,
and he snuck a little bottle of wine, a bit of, again, American history, I can't help. 1976, there was what was called the Paris tasting, and, you know, the best French noses were, you know, celebrating the 200th birthday of America, and he snuck a little bottle in a blind tasting, the best noses in the world unveiled it, and lo and behold, it was Napa Valley, Chateau Montelena, and he was the vintner there. And so Mike, that evening with the Mondavi event, heard that there were 1.2 million landmines in his homeland, and he said, how can that be? How can that be? I had just come back from my first State Department mission in January. He said, Heidi, let's go back. Mm-hmm. And in May, Mother's Day, actually, I walked a minefield with him. It was my daughter, so I have four children again, three sons and a daughter. It was her 13th birthday. And I thought very carefully. I didn't want her growing up in a place called Marin County and to think the latest pair of blue jeans defined who a woman's worth was. And having seen what the children had suffered, I talked to my husband, and on a rite of passage for her 13th birthday, my daughter Kylie joined me in May 2000 with Mike Gergich, and we walked a minefield. And it was an experience, you know, certainly that changed her life. She went on to raise pennies for peace, 50 million American pennies, to build schools for girls in high school. But going back to Dragalich, where she was there, we saw the devastation. We came back to Napa Valley. It was Mike Gergich's 25th anniversary of the Paris tasting. He dedicated it to Roots of Peace, not breast cancer, not AIDS, things we have in our backyard, but something people don't talk about, which is turning mines to vines across the world. We went back multiple times with the funding not only of the Vintners, but again to the State Department, to my country, who matched every dollar through PMWRA, and again the International Trust Fund out of Slovenia. And the other Vintners became to contribute. And we went to Dragalich, Čestomalé, Česta Velika, Bibinje, Baštica, and Vukovar. If you've ever seen Vukovar, and you want to see a legacy of the perils of war on the beautiful Danube River, go there and look at the water tower. But I can say today, and I always want to be optimistic, as the last panel was, I've seen Croatia go from 1.2 million landmines to one of the top tourist destinations in the world.
Indeed.
So if people tell me peace is impossible, you know, go home, you can't take out landmines. Landmines are the seeds of hatred that hold the land hostage for future generations. And we as humans have within our power to eradicate them. And I think if we can hold up Croatia as one country where peace through agriculture is possible, where, you know, we planted the beautiful apple trees, we restored the grape industry. Mike Gergich just died a year ago this month after hosting his last fundraiser for us, and he was 100 years young. He wanted to get to his 100th birthday, but his legacy is and will always be Roots of Peace. So I am just so grateful to those in my backyard. And I hope, Ambassador, this is inspirational for others living in America today, because how can we look in the kaleidoscope of the land in which we're so blessed to be born on, and to whom much has been given, much is required?
So you certainly, through your efforts and the efforts of Roots of Peace in Croatia, demonstrated the validity of your thesis.
Correct.
Of being able to link the removal of mines to the introduction of new crops, and therefore to regeneration of the economy and of communities within Croatia. But Croatia was only your beginning.
Yes.
Croatia is not an easy place to work, but. But your next stop was an even more challenging environment, and that was Afghanistan.
Yes, and we all, Ambassador, remember the tragic September 11th attacks on the United States of America, including this city. And I thought at that time, this has just gotten too hard. What can I do? I can't.
I can imagine,
But I learned by going up to one of the land-grant schools, as you had mentioned, University of California at Davis, and talking about the mines to vines and learning that 70 varietals of grapes in California are indigenous to Afghanistan. The concept of turning mines to vines with, of course, never fermenting the grapes with respect to the Muslim culture, provided the fresh grapes and the raisins. So the grapevine was the symbol of the seeds we have in common, as opposed to those which separate us. Again, the Vintners, and again, I did not do this by myself whatsoever. I have so many people who have supported it, most especially my my dear husband, Gary, and our four children, who, their mom is often a minefield from Marin County. Let's start there. Again, Erica Hills hosted a beautiful event for Roots of Peace. I was seated next to a lovely woman who owns Silverado Vineyards. And she said, I would like to come volunteer at your world headquarters. Well, that was in the basement of my home. And a lovely lady, Diane Miller, said, I'll come on a weekly basis, and she would help me file. We had something called a facsimile machine. You remember those? Beep, beep, beep. And one day she said, get a babysitter. We're going to go to lunch. And she pulled out her checkbook and wrote a six-figure check. And she said, somebody's got to do this. Go turn your minds to vines. For one day you will be out of the basement. You know a thing or two about vision, so did my dad. And I looked at the check, and I looked at Mrs. Miller, and I said, Mrs. Miller, who was your father? And she so politely said, I'm Diane Disney Miller. My father was Walt Disney. He knew a thing or two about a vision. And,
yes. And with, having met her and her
exactly.
vision.
Exactly. So, yeah. So again, these are all angels here. I've now passed on. But what that allowed me to do is then partner with the United Nations Mine Action Service.
Yes.
And, you know, again, just wonderful people. It was Martin Barber, who was the director at that time. And then we contracted out to the Halo Trust. Mm. And we began our first demining project north of Kabul in the Somali Plains. Again, 70 varietals of grapes indigenous to that region. And with the $200,000 that she gave me, I was beyond pennies for peace. We demined the area, and 100,000 landmines, UXOs, and cluster munitions were removed.
Yeah. And along the way, though, you, of course, came, you had already come to the attention of parts of the U.S. government and mentioned Ambassador Steinberg, but USAID also saw great value and merit in the work that you were doing and became your partner as well.
Exactly. Yep. And so getting the mines out, that's an excellent question, Ambassador. It was half the problem. My husband, Gary, had a tremendous career, 10 years at IBM, and went with a little startup called Adobe Systems. I was at the table, honest to God, when they had to name it, and it was connecting two major systems, and it was a tightrope, because if they fell, they would embarrass themselves and fall to the floor, embarrass themselves to the world. So they called it Acrobat. So my husband did Acrobat with John Warnock and Chuck Heskey. And one day he came home and said, I've done well, now I want to do good. It was after September 11th. And I was working at True Story out of a shoebox. And it was through the leadership and financial experience with my husband, Gary. I was lifted from the basement and onto the global stage. He went to Afghanistan before I did, along with my son, Tucker, who had just graduated from high school. He was 18 years old, and it scared me to death. I thought, what have I done?
Yes.
You know, my family wants to get behind this. You know, the 2,000 American troops had died tragically in Afghanistan, and they were going with shovels instead of guns. They were going with shovels to fulfill his wife and his mother's dream. Mm-hmm. And through their leadership, they saw the grapes. But the grapes, here's where Roots of Peace and the ability, I really want to thank my country, because what they witnessed is that the grapes, due to three decades of war, were being harvested at midday. They were dragged on burlap sacks to market, and they were expecting a meager profit because the transfer of knowledge from grandfather to father to son was lost due to war. So Gary went and introduced the trellis grape vines. You know, you lift the grapes off. The first year of the demonstration plot, they cut all the wood down, and he went back and said, you know, what did you do this for? You know, here's the Americans, right, coming over. And they said, you know, this was the coldest winter on record. We needed the wood for our fire. So he went back, and Ambassador Ashraf Ghani, right there, right, was with the embassy, raise your hand, and you know this story very well, now the ambassador, Afghan ambassador to India. Thank you for being here, and thank you for supporting us. But with those grapes, they introduced the cement grapes, and that took off in all 34 provinces. So USAID in 2002 generously gave Roots of Peace $6 million. We partnered with Chemonix, and it was called the RAMP program, Rural Afghan Development Program. And then it was so successful with the trellis vineyards that the CHAMP program was born in 2008. And I believe those in USAID here, it's been the longest consecutively run program in the history of USAID, as I was told. It was commercial horticultural agricultural marketing program. So Afghanistan is a country people do not realize 80% dependent upon agriculture for jobs. So we expanded to renew, what did you call it, the Garden of Central Asia. You taught me that, Ambassador. And to restore the Garden of Central Asia. So we went down to Kandahar. And at this point, I started to travel with him because I could, and to meet the Afghan people and to see their hospitality, the beautiful pomegranates and melons in Kandahar and Helmand. And then you go up, Afghanistan's shaped like a leaf. You go to Ghazni, Wardak, Logar, apples, apricots, almonds, cherries in Badakhshan, beautiful saffron in Herat, and of course the grapes. And so we, over the past, with the investment of USAID, USDA, DOD, European Union, Asian Development Bank, and the World Bank, we planted 8 million fruit trees in Afghanistan. And took agricultural exports from 2014 after a Taliban attack, which again, I wondered whether this is even possible anymore. But, you know, I thought of the children, and it's all about the children and the mothers who have to feed their children. We took ag exports, from which averaged for about a decade, from $250 million in 2014 to over $1.4 billion by 2020, before the regime changed. So peace through agriculture is our battle cry. The reason we were able to improve or greatly accelerate the exports was because, again, people were afraid to come, the buyers were afraid, of course, to come to Afghanistan. So we brought, Roots of Peace brought the Afghan traders to meet the buyers at Gulf Food, which is the largest food exhibition in Dubai. It was like a match made in heaven. They used to call them the Kabuliwalas. And the best fruits were reconnected. But this wasn't poor little India anymore. So the buyers from Reliance and Big Bazaar, major supermarket chains, did the deals. And we introduced the cold storage refrigeration, which in a Hamid Karzai International Airport started the air corridor. So corrugated boxes, again, beautiful refrigeration. And we were able to just really restore the agricultural bounty of Afghanistan. And I just would like to say today that I'm so proud that Roots of Peace, despite the regime change,
I wanted to come to that because the U.S. Institute of Peace was very actively involved in Afghanistan for many, many years. We went through the trauma of bringing home, bringing back to the U.S. Our 52 staff members, as well as 350 members of their families and hundreds of more who we were able to assist in the evacuation. But your Roots of Peace has managed to stay engaged. Tell us how that has been possible, and what's your sense of how
this is impacting
the people who are still benefiting from
terrible, terrible day and terrible month of August 2021. We had to fly over to get our team out in Istanbul, and again with my husband Gary, and we were approached by people who knew we were there. Let's just say that.
Yes,
and at the dinner table where I was invited and dressed appropriately, not knowing if what they were going to do to a woman CEO at the time, they said, "Mrs. Kuhn, we don't look at you as a woman. We look at you as a mother who's feeding our children. You have full permission to work in our country." And I think you know, we of course have our own judgments about regimes,
sure,
but we have to get beyond the flag that's flying and look at humans. The panels had said that we have to go back to the altruistic spirit of America and think about the children of the earth that deserve to be fed. A beautiful story, because we still employ women. I talked to our team at 4 a.m. this morning who are watching online, so hello to the Afghan women. Yeah. But one of the women was, of course, a professor at University of Kabul. She was actually the dean of physics. She lost her job overnight. What she did is she sold all her jewelry. She went out and bought an archaic spaghetti machine. She knew how to make spaghetti, really good spaghetti. But it was freezing cold in the winter, and it was overly hot in the summer. So Roots of Peace came in, and we gave her a grant. She now has 50 women working for her, because the men, the women have to have what's called a mahram, which is a family male escort. But the mahrams bring the women to the state-of-the-art spaghetti factory. The women work, but they come home with delicious spaghetti on the table for dinner. And the men and the family love it, and in the morning, back they go to work. So that's just noodling around ideas that women can be entrepreneurs, but I just want to salute the women of Afghanistan, and again, thank my country, because the reason we're able to work there today, much of the funding is drastically diminished from the $200 million that we originally managed, fiscally responsible. We're down to 5.5 million, but I do want to thank my country, the U.S. Department of State, INL, International Narcotics and Law Enforcement, and we're partnering with UNDP, and it's called the CBARD program. So we've been able to do this, continue to do it, and just finished an incredible harvest of hope. And it gives me joy that the fruit trees are going to come back every single year. And that is sustainable peace. It's not, with bombs coming from the top. I think, peace from the bottom up. Yeah. And
I can only begin to imagine how much that means to the Afghans who are impacted by your work, and particularly to the women who were there.
The women who, again.
Which is something we are continuing to try to do as
well. Thank you so much at this incredible Institute of Peace.
Honey, there's so much to talk about, but I wonder if we could turn to another country where you've been very, 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 very instrumental. And it's a place where, in a way, our paths crossed, because as Ken referenced, back in 1968, we both found our way to Vietnam. I wound up in central Vietnam and in working in Da Nang and covering all of what was then called I Corps up to the DMZ. And we know at the time the DMZ that separated North and South was perhaps the most heavily mined stretch of territory in the world.
Yes.
And yet you chose to work there.
Yes.
Can you tell us about...
Go ahead.
You've gone from
Croatia... I walked the minefields of the world. Not your ordinary housewife.
...to Afghanistan, and that wasn't challenging enough, so you chose to go to Vietnam.
I did, because, we all come from somewhere. And the what defined my generation in the 1970s was the Vietnam War. I graduated in 1979 in political economics of industrial societies at Cal Berkeley. And, whether you fought in the Vietnam War, your cousins died in the Vietnam War, or you protested, it was part of our DNA. And as I learned about the mines, I learned also that 80% of Quang Tri Province, the former DMZ, remained mined.
Yep.
And conversely, the best black pepper in the world comes from this particular region, much like fine wines. The soil and it's conducive to the best black pepper. So mines to pepper vines, mines to vines, seems like another excellent idea. Mentioned this at the Global Philanthropy Forum and the Skoll Award for Social Entrepreneurship. And somebody wrote a check for $450. They said it was from somebody, it was anonymous, somebody whose brother died in the Vietnam War. And they said, go do this, please. And you know, once again, I really have to thank my son Tucker. He went over there, graduated from University of San Francisco, blue-eyed blonde, and in his mid-20s said, I want to come work for you. And took my breath away, excuse me, there I go with a landmine again. Took my breath away, Ambassador, and because it's dangerous. You don't want your kids going over there. But for 2 years, he earned the respect, and we've trained hundreds of thousands of Vietnamese farmers to grow black pepper. But furthermore, from a business standpoint, providing the exports of that black pepper, selling it to Morton and Bassett Spice Company. And as you do your holiday baking, please go to any Safeway store or Whole Foods, but you'll see the black pepper and the saffron. If you turn it around, the Roots of Peace logo is on each bottle because a percentage of the proceeds goes back to the farmers. So it's a business model for peace: demine, replant, rebuild, and peace through agriculture is our battle cry.
Indeed. So, yet another country. I have to go back to Angola, in part because it's very much in the news today.
Mm-hmm. Yes, it is.
But Angola is another place where, as it happens, we walked a similar path. Mm-hmm. In 1993, Don Steinberg, who was with us, I was the newly anointed Assistant Secretary for Africa. And I was dispatched to Angola to normalize our relations, which of course had been disrupted, if you will, by the years of civil war. Mm-hmm. Don was our ambassador at the time. Mm-hmm. Together we traveled to Wambo.
Yes.
And while we were there, we together walked a pathway through a recently cleared minefield. Something I know that you have done as well. So tell us a bit about how your journey took you to Angola. And as I recall, you actually recently called attention again to this.
20 years ago, I too was there. And the State Department had funded a Roots of Peace program there in 2004. Yeah. And I went to Huambo, Quando Cabango, which is down below. And I was partnering with the Conservation Corps International. And what I learned there, it was not only the impact on the agriculture and humans, but it was the impact on the animals. And along the beautiful Chobe River, the giant, beautiful footsteps of the elephant lived with man for centuries, right? Since the beginning of time. But when the landmines were laid there, the very sensitivity of the paws of the elephant sensed there was thunder in the ground. So what happens with animals, they no longer do those ancient migration routes. They remained without the migration. What they did then was infringe upon the food sources of the local villagers. What did the local villagers do but shoot the animals? So again, the whole cycle, we have to look not in silos anymore. We have to look at the full ramifications of war. And again, my strong feelings in watching what's going on in this world today, where in Ukraine, 30% of Ukraine is now mined, holding a country that was the breadbasket of Europe, that land is held hostage from agricultural production. As Ambassador Quinn said, 2075, the victims, the children and great-great-grandchildren will suffer the consequences of those seeds of hatred that we planted today. And again, for me, no judgment who puts them in, let's just get them out. So I suited up with 60 of the bravest women, and they were from MAG, the Mines Advisory Group. I think one of the representatives was here today. And we suited up on International Women's Day, March 8th. And we went out, I flew into Luanda, the capital, and then 4 hours into Luena, and we suited up and detonated those mines. And the ABC7 News did the story and asked the women deminers, why do you do such a dangerous job? And they looked, the women, quite frankly, and said, if we don't do it, who will? our children kick soccer balls out of bounds, we either have to pick up the dead body or take care of the child indefinitely. And I, you know, I'm sorry to cut to the chase on all this, but this is a really serious, what we have done to the Mother Earth that feeds us. Let's just pull way back from the politics. This is the soil and soul that we are violating by planting seeds of hatred, not only in the soil, but in the soul of humanity. And that hatred continues to manifest. And I think having, from there at the end of this past fall, I was invited to the World Agroforestry Center as a keynote speaker, and connected with Ambassador Gertrude Ngote and Kenyan Ambassador to UNEP, and we're committed now as two women. We wrote our op-ed for World Food Day together to plant 15 billion trees in Kenya by 2032, because, again, every landmine out, every fruit tree planted feeds future generations. But think about this, every fruit tree planted is going to sequester the carbon that's going to fight climate change. Yeah. So last month, Ambassador, I was invited by you, thank you so much, to be a keynote speaker at COP29. Mm-hmm. And again, why talk about landmines? Why talk about agriculture? This is about climate. And I drove 3 hours from the beautiful Baku Stadium to Qaraba, where I've been there four times. And in your beautiful country, unbeknownst to the Western press, since November 2020, 1.5 million landmines were laid in this beautiful area. Qaraba means black garden, and that was for the beautiful purple grapes. And Qaraba today is a black garden because of the landmines. So, you know, I tend to make audacious calls to action, but minds to minds. If I had a dream, it would be by next year at COP29, we come together as a world, all of those countries who came, all of the wealthy, wealthy oil companies, join us. We're not only going to demine with ANAMA, because Roots of Peace doesn't do demining, but please, allow Roots of Peace, my son Tucker, will go over, and we're going to plant peace like never before, and hold that up with President Lula, who is the president, also a fellow laureate of the World Food Prize, and he will be host of the of COP30. So let's show what World Food Prize laureates can do. Let's just not talk peace through agriculture. I mean, I'm a Berkeley girl. Peace and love have never been more important than they are now, but let's ground it. And again, my beautiful wise granny McNear, who always taught me, not only from minds to vines, but may they beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks, so that nation shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war anymore.
Thank you so much for that.
Can we do this? Can we do this, Ambassador? Can I hear? Put you on the spot.
your comments underscored part of the conversation we heard this afternoon, namely, as you say, we can't look at these issues in silos. We have to understand the many ways in which they're interconnected and sometimes mutually reinforcing. So your observation about, first and foremost, landmines being a scourge of the land, the removal of them therefore being a blessing, but also then the realization that the planting that follows the removal of the mines is something that also not only nurtures and nourishes people, but contributes enormously to our abilities to counter the trends of conflict and, but also of climate change, which therefore breaks the cycle that we've been talking about.
Yes, and Ambassador, another fellow, I just always want to honor Ambassador Quinn, who really is the godfather of the World Food Prize, with Norman Borlaug. Yeah. But another fellow laureate, Dr. Kerry Fowler, couldn't be here today. He's in Saudi Arabia, but he has appointed me as a very proud VAX champion, and that, again, it's not a peace sign, it's VAX, the vision for adapted crops in soils. So yes. When we go back into planting those 15 billion trees in Kenya and around the world, let's look at the highest value, most nutritional crops that we can be planting to feed our children. And Roots of Peace is in Guatemala augmenting building of higher walls, but let's get to the root cause of out-migration.
Yes.
And the answer is in the soil. It's in the soil and soil. It's the farmer. It's the farmers. So we've been down there with our team. I've walked the Western Highlands, Huehuetenango, Quiche, San Marcos, and the highest concentration of out-migration is from these areas.
That's exactly right.
But they grow the best coffee in the world, but that's only a single crop. They can't afford to feed their families. Why did they come up here? It's jobs. Mm-hmm. So again, Tucker has been introducing the avocados and the macadamia nuts. So the farmers are doubling and tripling their yield. Nobody is going to leave their grandmother. Nobody is going to leave their relative, risk their lives, come up here and cross a river they can't even swim in. They're going to stay home. And the answer is in the soil and soul of humanity. We have to have the intention, the collaboration in this room and around the world. I love that idea of bringing, world leaders, kind of a UN 2.0. But I just can't thank you and Ambassador Quinn. You both have inspired me. Been the wind beneath my wings, really, to give me the encouragement to do something that people told me many, many years ago. You're just a Marin County mom. How could you do this? So I'm just so proud of my son, Tucker. He's the new CEO, my new boss, and passing that on to the next generation. And this is America, and we're going to have a new president, but this is the country I love, and we are peace through agriculture, I think, can bring us all together as human beings and be the higher good, higher angels that we were called to be. I do want to give a plug to that. I was appointed by the Smithsonian for being a very old family, very old myself now in the minefields. But I'm very honored to be the chairperson for the 250th birthday of America, which will be 2026, and that also coincides with the year of the United Nations Woman Farmer. So I hope we'll be partnering down the street.
We will be partnering, and we have already begun that conversation.
We have with your brilliant.
We will be contributing to that celebration.
Terra firma, this is the soil. Go outside and just think when you go out, how lucky we are. We don't have to worry where our car is parked or we can walk with our children and grandchildren. We don't have to worry about landmines. Landmines to me is it's just ground zero for world peace. And 110 million landmines today in 60 countries. And the stories of the women that I've spoken to in Ukraine who said, thank you so much for talking about this. Our husbands, our fathers, our brothers are on the front line of war. The fruit is ripe on the vine, and we are faced with the choice of whether we tiptoe across the minefield to reach the juicy nectar of that fruit, hoping that, one, we don't blow up in front of our children, and worse yet, we lose a leg because somebody's going to have to take care of us. So think about that for a moment. Mm-hmm. Think about how grateful we are during the season of peace on earth. So
Heidi, I just can't thank you enough for your vision and your inspiration. You are the inspiration for this event today, without question. And it is, we both hope, we know that this was not the end of a conversation. This is the beginning of a conversation. And I take us back to where I started this morning, the firm belief that I know we share, that this is very much part of an American vision. This is this is ground on which we as a country can stand firmly and where we have much to contribute by virtue of our own inspiration and experience.
Yes.
And so that's why we wanted to call attention to this. And I think in this particular moment, this is a moment for us to understand the issues around which we can unite. And I think surely this is one. We know this because the programs that have supported your work,
yes.
the programs that have supported American generosity in terms of assistance to food assistance around the world, all of those programs are deeply rooted mm-hmm. in bipartisan support
yes.
in our Congress
it's
and across our country.
Critical.
And so one of the reasons we wanted to co-host this event with you was just to call attention to that and to begin a longer conversation about how we can, number one, build on the knowledge that we have acquired over the years about how to do this work.
Mm-hmm.
And you know that word, mm-hmm. you know that mm-hmm. better than many.
Mm-hmm.
How to do this work and how we can do it better.
Yes.
And how do we garner the support we know is necessary in order to make it possible. So we just want to thank you so much.
Thank you, dear Ambassador. Thank you, and Ambassador Quinn, Ambassador Usher Bashan.
And my thanks to all of you for
thank you.
Hanging
thank
with
you
us
so
all
much.
Afternoon.
Thank
and
you.
I know
thank
that we
so
will
much.
Hear you again. Thank you all.
Thank you. Aw, you did it. Thank you all so much.
Thank you for listening to this event. If you'd like to listen to more events or explore our other podcasts, visit usip.org/podcasts.